This sermon is titled, What is So Different About Jesus? Be enriched as you listen.
Good morning, everyone, once again. You know, as pastors, we think seriously about what we bring to the congregation through the course of the year, the teaching and the ministry. We are very thoughtful about it, very intentional about it, and also very prayerful, meaning listening to what God wants us to bring to the congregation year on year. So at the end of the year, we look back, okay, how did we do? What did we bring to the people? And we're also looking forward, planning ahead for 2026. So just quickly, when we look back on 2025, there were several individual messages, single messages that we brought to the congregation on various things, various topics. In terms of series, sermon series, we did a sermon series on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We delved into that. We talked about the believer's walk, where we addressed different aspects of how we live as believers. We did a series on the priesthood, looking back at the Old Testament priesthood and drawing insights from that and how that applies to us as priests, kings and priests to God as New Testament believers. We also did a book study. Which book did we cover in 2025? The Gospel of John. I hope you all enjoyed that. We spent several, maybe more than 2 months, almost 3 months, studying through the Gospel of John. And that was an amazing, amazing time just journeying through the Gospel of John. We also did another sermon series on divine healing, where we revisited that topic, built our faith on that. So these are some of the main things that we covered during the course of this year. And as I was just thinking about, you know, in closing out 2025, I just wanted to bring these two simple messages to reinforce, to strengthen our faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So on Christmas Day, we addressed the question, why do we believe in Jesus? Why? So if somebody asks you, why do you believe in Jesus? You can't say, I was born in a Christian family. That's not a good enough reason why you believe in Jesus. Oh, I've got a Christian name. It's nice to have a Christian name. But that's not a good enough reason why you should believe in Jesus. You need to know, why do you believe? And so we address this three simple reasons. He is the way, we are convinced. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth. Truth matters for us. He is the truth. And he is the life. And this is the claim that Jesus made. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in continuing with that this morning, I want to address another aspect, another question. Why do we say that Jesus is different? Why do we believe in the uniqueness of Jesus Christ? Why is he different from all others? Today, in our world, we've got lots of options. Make up your own religion if you'd like. ChatGPT can help you do that. You know, give me a religion, out will come something. Now, you've got so many options. You've got so many ideologies, so many philosophies out there. You can pick any one of them. But why do we say Christ and Christ alone? Why do we say Jesus is unique? Why is Jesus so different? And, you know, when we stand for our single-mindedness about Jesus Christ, sometimes people say you're very narrow-minded. Now be open-minded. Why are you so single-minded, so narrow-minded about Jesus? Well, when you're convinced about something, obviously you're single-minded about it. When you're absolutely convinced about something, that's it. There's nothing wrong in being single-minded. It's just an indication that you're convinced. Or sometimes when we are single-minded about Jesus, people say, well, you're condemning others. You are condescending. You know, you're putting others down. Well, No. We're just very clear and very convinced about what we believe. That's why we're single-minded about Jesus. So we'll talk about that towards the end of the message. How do we handle this? You know, we people say, well, you're so single-minded about Jesus, you're looking down on others. We're not looking down on others. We're just very clear and convinced about what we believe. But let's get back to that question. Why do we say that Jesus is different? Why are we saying Jesus Christ is unique? I want us to look at three reasons. And you can add to this list, of course, but look at three reasons. First, Jesus is unique in who he is. The uniqueness of the person. So what's unique about Jesus? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us this was God who became man. God who became man. God incarnate. He was not some man who ascended, gained some enlightenment, stepped into some higher level of life. This is God who came into this world. He was born of a virgin. He was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived a sinless life. Do we know anyone else like that? You say, but, well, this is all what the Bible says. Well, look at it very logically. Yes, this is what the Bible says, but either it's all truth or it's all lie. You can't take a little bit of it. It's either all truth or it's all lie. Either you believe the whole thing or you discard the whole thing. Now, we believe the whole thing, and we'll come to why. But Jesus Christ is unique as a person. Because he's the only one whom God, who became a man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. Can we find anyone else like that? Sure, we'll find lots of leaders. We'll find lots of noble people. Great presidents, great generals, all of them. But is anyone who says, this is God who became man, who lived a sinless life, who walked on the earth. So Jesus is in a class by himself. He's unique. So we can't just compare him with anyone else. There's nobody else who comes in that category, in that class. Are you all with me so far? So it's no longer a question of considering alternatives, because there is no other alternative that comes and fits in this same class as Jesus Christ. Because he is God who became man. Are you with me? The Bible says this. That 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And I'm just putting these scriptures out from the Good News Bible, just for a change. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, it says, there is one God, and there is one who brings God and human beings together, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to redeem the whole human race. That was a proof at the right time that God wants everyone to be saved. Now think about this. We said Jesus is God who became man. Therefore, he walked a sinless life. What does that lead us to conclude? Only this man was therefore qualified to be a substitute for the rest of us. Because every other human being born of man had sin of their own. But there was only one man who walked this earth, who lived above sin, Satan, and death. And that's Jesus Christ. Every other human being who walked this earth was subject to sin, Satan, and death. There's only one human being who walked on the earth, who lived above sin, Satan, and death. And that's Jesus Christ. Because he was God who became man. And therefore, only he was qualified to die on the cross, to bear the sins of this world. Only he could say, put all their judgment on me because I have no sin of my own. Are you understand? It's very logical. There's only one person who qualified to be the substitute for the entire human race, and that's this person, Jesus Christ. So show me someone else who was without sin, who lived above Satan and above death. Is there anyone else that we can point to? There's only one, Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says there is only one who mediates, verse 5. For there is one God and there is one who brings God and human beings together, the man, Christ. Why only one? Because he's the only one who lived above sin, Satan, and death. Amen? So now there's really no other alternative. There's nobody else that you can put alongside Jesus and say, look, here's one person who lived above sin, Satan, and death. Here's another person who lived above sin, Satan, and death. You can't put anybody else alongside Jesus. You really don't have any alternatives. When you look at the person of Christ. Second, Jesus Christ is unique in his resurrection. Think about this. There is no other system of belief, there is no other religion, there is no other faith that says, that even claims, that the person in whom we believe died and rose up again. So the Christian faith is predicated on this one thing, that Christ died and he rose up again. Why did the early disciples preach? They didn't preach because, oh, we've got some new thing to say. We've got some nice idea. We've got some great concepts. We've got some new philosophy that none of the other philosophers have thought about. They didn't go preaching a philosophy. They preached Christ rose from the dead. That's what they preached. In Acts chapter 4, when the apostles were apprehended by the religious leaders, they were brought together and they said, we're commanding you, don't preach in the name of Jesus. Their response was very simple. In Acts 4:20, they said, you know, we can't but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. We're just saying what we saw and heard. That's all. We're just telling people about that. So they saw the risen Christ. And so they were absolutely convinced that the Christ who was crucified is also the Christ who had been raised up. And they went preaching everywhere that Jesus Christ has been raised up from the dead. Now think about this. That's a hard sell. If they wanted to promote something, they would pick something easy that people would believe. But they were preaching, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he has the power to save, to heal, to deliver, to work miracles in his name. That means they really believe that Jesus Christ is alive. And because he's alive, he's active today. He's going to do things today. He's going to change your life. He's going to heal. He's going to deliver. And that's exactly what happened to the early church. They preached a risen Christ and they demonstrated his reality. Amen. So, Christ is unique in his resurrection. The Christian faith is predicated on this. The Apostle Paul stated this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 and 17. He said this, and if Christ has not been raised from death, then we have nothing to preach and you have nothing to believe. Think about it. Say, look, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, nothing to talk about. Forget it. Nothing to preach, nothing to believe. Then he went on to say this in verse 17. He said, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion. And you are still lost in your sins. Now this is Paul, the great apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's saying this, look, if Christ had not been raised, then this whole faith is a delusion. We're just fooling ourselves. And we're still in our sins. And who was writing this? The same man who once wanted to eradicate Christianity out of the face of the earth. He persecuted the Christians. He said, I'm going to get rid of these people. They're preaching Jesus. They're preaching nonsense. I want to get rid of them. And then suddenly, he encountered not a new idea, not a new philosophy. He encountered the living Jesus. And that changed his life. And he started preaching Jesus Christ. And so here Paul is saying, look, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then we are all foolish. We're all just deluded. But this is where Christ is so unique. Christ is unique in his resurrection. Nobody else claims that. Amen. So either that resurrection is a reality or the resurrection is a hoax. The biggest hoax that ever was. There's no middle ground. And the fact that lives are changed today in the name of Jesus. The fact that the people are healed, demons are cast out, miracles take place in his name is evidence that Christ is alive. Demons would not fear the name of a dead man. But today in his name, they fear and tremble. They're cast out in his name. Jesus is alive. And not only is he alive, the Bible also says he's coming back. Acts chapter 1, when Jesus, after showing himself alive to his disciples for 40 days, when he took them out to the Mount of Olives, here's what happened. Acts 1 verses 9 through 11. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away. When two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven. So the angel is saying, look, he's coming back. So when the apostles, when they went preaching, they not only preached Christ resurrected, they preached Christ coming back. His return. That's the Christian faith. Now show me someone else. Show me any other human person who claimed to have been raised from the dead and is coming back. No one else. Christ is unique in his person and who he is. Christ is unique in his resurrection. Nobody else. The last one. Christ is unique in his impact on human history. Now think about it logically. 2,000 years ago, not talking about 20 years ago. We're not talking about 200 years ago. We're talking about 2,000 years ago. Historically, there lived a man born in the little town of Bethlehem. He didn't travel more than 200 miles from where he was born. That means he didn't leave Bangalore as far as Mangalore. He didn't even go to Mangalore. Just in that little region that he lived. And for 30 years, he worked as a carpenter up to age 30. So maybe from 12, he's working as a carpenter. How many years did he preach? He just preached for 3 years. Not 30. He preached for 3 short years. Did he write any book? Didn't. Did he build any building? He didn't. Did he form an organization in his name? He didn't. All he did was choose 12 people. And out of that, one betrayed him. 3 years is all that he preached. In all probability, this was a man whom nobody should even know about. Why would anybody want to remember a carpenter who lived 2,000 years ago and who preached for 3 years? You know, today we have lots of influencers, a lot of famous people. But just think about it, you know, if I mention the name of some great athlete from 20 years ago, young people today will say, who is that? 20 years ago, they were famous. Today, nobody knows their name. It's gone. They were superstars in their day. Today, you don't know their name. It's gone. But how come a carpenter from such an obscure location on the planet, who never did anything that we would account as greatness, who died crucified as a criminal, why would he have such an impact on the globe? That any part of the world you go, you'll find people praising his name. Who? Someone lived 2,000 years ago. There are more books written in his name, more songs written in his name, more work being done in his name. Why? There were many great people who lived on the earth. Great presidents, nobles, generals, philosophers, all kinds of, we don't even remember their names. We don't know their names. But this man. And if that is not enough, all of human history is centered around him. We talk about before Christ. After Christ. It's almost like God said, you can't escape this. I mean, who we're talking about? A carpenter who lived 2,000 years ago. And he has become the center point of human history. And he can't escape it. Why? How did this happen? Probably this. Logically speaking, he was more than just a man. But he would leave such an indelible mark on human history. And he's alive today. So three simple reasons. Why is Jesus Christ so different from all other options that you and I may have today? Why is he so different? Why is he unique? He's unique in who he is. Nobody else like him. He's unique in his resurrection. Nobody can even claim that, has even claimed that. And he's unique in his impact in human history. Whether you like it or not, it's staring you in the face. How could you and I ignore this? So that's why Acts 4 and verse 12. The Bible claims this. The Bible says, salvation is to be found through him alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us. Acts 4, 12. Look, this statement is so explicit, it is so clear. Salvation is through him alone. And to the whole earth, there is no one else. Him alone, no one else. Him alone, no one else. That's what the Bible says. You just have to take it or leave it. No middle ground. Are you listening? The Bible doesn't present Jesus to us as one of the many options. The Bible doesn't say all roads lead to Rome. The Bible says there's him alone, no one else. Him alone, no one else. Why? He's unique in his life, unique in his resurrection and his return, and is unique in his impact on human history. Him alone, no one else can save us. Take it or leave it. So coming back to what we began with, when you and I are single-minded about Jesus, and then people call us saying, you're so narrow-minded. No, I'm not narrow-minded. I'm just single-minded. That means I'm absolutely clear. I'm absolutely convinced that Christ is unique because you can't show me another option. So I'm not narrow-minded. I just don't have an option. There is no alternative that you can compare with Christ. So when people say, you know, when you say that Jesus is the only way, you're being intolerant, you're condemning, you're condescending of other persuasions. No, that's not what I'm doing. It just means I'm very clear, I'm very convinced that Jesus is the only way. And I'm open for discussion. Please show me something else that I can consider that comes anywhere close to these three things about Jesus. I'm open. But the point is, till this moment, there's nobody else. That's why you and I are absolutely clear and absolutely convinced that there's salvation in no other and no other way. Amen. Worship team, please go. So, in closing, I want to just present this to us in Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. The situation is there was a jailer who had put Paul and Silas in prison, and Paul and Silas were in prison and they were singing praises to the Lord. And the jailer just heard these songs singing. And right there in prison, a miracle happens. The risen Christ shook the prison. The prison doors were thrown open. The chains fell off. The jailer, seeing this, asked the question. Acts 16, verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So you don't find in that account that Paul preached a big message, nothing. There's something that just came into this jailer's heart. Having heard their singing, having seen the power of the risen Christ, he was convicted that he needed this Jesus. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was very simple. Verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, before we close, I want to give an invitation to anyone here this morning. Maybe you've never made that decision to believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you thought he's one of the many. He's a nice person to follow. I like his teachings. I like to go to church now and then. Listen, got to believe in this person. Believe in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible presents him to us as the only option. Not one among many. The only option. And if you've never embraced Jesus Christ as the only Lord and Savior of your life, then this morning, I want to invite you to do what this jailer was invited to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be forgiven of your sins and you'll be brought into a relationship with God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you used to believe, but now you're in a place where you were questioning. And maybe this morning you're convinced. I want you to make that decision. I believe. Could you take a moment, please, right where we are seated? Could we bow our heads? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you have never made a decision in your life till this moment, a single-minded decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to give this invitation to you to say, yes, I believe there is no one else like Jesus. No one else who could even be put beside him to compare him with, to choose between. No one else. And so this morning, I am going to make my single-minded commitment to follow this Jesus who died, who rose up again, who is alive, who's ascended into heaven, who's seated in the throne of God, and who is coming back again. I'm going to make my decision to believe in him. If you've never made that decision this morning and you feel in your heart you want to do it, I want to invite you to please pray with me. Or perhaps, like we said, you want to recommit. You want to make that decision again, afresh. I want to invite you as well to pray with me, please. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, this morning, I make my single-minded decision to believe in you. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And help me to follow you and you alone the rest of my life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that decision this morning, prayed that prayer, and we want to celebrate with you, and we also want to make sure that you get a bag that has a set of free resources that we want to get across to you to help you grow in your journey of faith. Along with the bag, there's a card that says decision card. If you can write your name and number, give it back to the greeters, then somebody from the office will call you and show you how to use the resources in your bag. So if you pray that prayer with me, first time this morning, or made a commitment again this morning, could you please wave your hand at me? Anyone here in this auditorium, you prayed with me for the very first time, or you made a commitment once again, could you wave your hand at me? And we just want to celebrate with you, and we want to make sure that you receive these resources that we have for you. Anyone here in the auditorium, could you wave your hand at me? Anyone? Anyone? I see one hand, two hands. Praise God. Both of you, praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just where you are, just wave your hand at me. Just wave your hand at me, please. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, thank God. At least two people this morning, they made their decision. We celebrate with you. Thank you for doing that. Receive the gift. Please write your name and number. Please send it back to the greeters so that we'll get it to the church office and somebody will call you and guide you on how to grow in your journey of faith. Now remember, the early church preached a Jesus who's alive. They didn't preach a dead Jesus. They preached a Jesus who would heal the people. They preached a Jesus who set people free from demonic powers. They preached a Jesus who would work miracles in the lives of people. And the Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same. So we're going to stand up. We're going to sing. And I want you to expect Jesus, as we sing, and then we'll come back and pray in closing. I want you to expect Jesus to touch you, to minister to you. Should there be a need in your life of healing, a miracle that you want the Lord to work in your life, in your life circumstance, your situation, I want you to pray. We are not talking about religion. We're talking about a living person to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been given. We're talking about a person who has the power to heal, to deliver, to work miracles. The same Jesus who calmed the storm. The same Jesus who multiplied bread and fish. The same Jesus who worked miracles is here. And so we're going to call on his name. And Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are still our healer. You're still the deliverer. You are still the miracle worker. You're still the one who calms the storms, who silences the waves. You're still the one who opens the door which no man can shut. And so in Jesus' name, in that mighty name, I command sicknesses and diseases to leave. I command bodies to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command minds to be free from all fear and oppression and torment in the name of Jesus. Let the healing power of God flow through your body, releasing the healing of God in your body, in your joints, in your bones. Let the power of God touch and heal right now in this place. And even those watching online, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus, receive healing, receive wholeness. And in that name, let every yoke of the enemy be broken, every oppression removed of your life. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we invite you to work miracles in our lives. Open doors that are shut. Turn things around. Turn our mourning into dancing. You be the fourth man in the midst of the fire with us. So the flames will not scorch us, not even the smell of fire will be on us because we are divinely protected. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit continue with each of us always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.